I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And I want to begin reading in verse 25. And you follow along in your Bible as I read. Verse 25, Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 25. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build, but was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I want to speak to you tonight on the cost of discipleship. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, there are so many wonderful things in these few verses that are read tonight. And I pray you'll bless these things to our hearts. And Lord, help me as I speak tonight. I want to be a blessing to folks, and I want folks to understand and see your heart. And so, Lord, I pray that you will just bless us mightily this evening. Lord, fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. I pray, Lord, that we'll not just hear with our ears, but we'll hear with our hearts. And that, Lord, you might be honored and glorified. And Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. Thank you for the battle, the building and the battling that you have called us to. And so, Lord, we need your help tonight. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text tonight finds the Lord Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And he has a crowd of people who are following him. They are a zealous crowd. They are a fervid crowd. They are following and waiting and hoping to just see another miracle. They are wanting to hear more of his rebuke that was often directed at the Pharisees. They were amazed at his ministry, and everywhere he went, they followed him. They were on his heels with every step. They were a crowd ready to identify with him. And the Lord Jesus turns to the crowd and utters the words of our text beginning in verse 26, 27, and 33. The Lord turns to this crowd who is following him and have been following him now. And he says these words that they did not expect to hear. These are harsh words. They're perhaps the most sharpest and most severe words that were recorded that he had to say to the common people. Now, look, if you will, at your Bible. Look at verse 26, verse 27, and verse 33. And you will notice here what the Lord says are the terms of his terms for discipleship. He says, you want to follow me and be my disciple? Then you must hate your mother and your father and your brother and your sister and your wife and your children and yourself. And you must take up your cross and you must forsake all if you want to follow me. Now, I dare say that this crowd was not expecting to hear those words from the lips of our Savior. I can just imagine that when he said these words, they were all standing there with their jaws hitting the ground and thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, I did not know that all this was involved. They were no doubt expecting him to say, if they were going to follow him, that he would make them great, powerful, rich, blessed. If they would but follow him, he would just make life a piece of cake for all of them. But instead, he said the exact opposite. Three things he commanded here. In the 26th verse, he said, you must hate father and mother and so on and so forth. Now, don't jump off your seat here. The Lord is speaking comparatively. He is not advocating that all of you work up a good case of hate against your mom and your dad and your brother and your sister. Well, you can't against your sister. I guess that's okay. No, not even against your sister. I mean, he is not advocating that you sit here and think about all the things that that they have done through your life that angered you, and then you sit there and think about it until you get a case of hate in your heart. No, he's not advocating that we hate anyone. He is speaking comparatively here. And he is saying that in relationship to the love that we are to have toward him, the love that we have even for our family is so small that it would look like hate. In other words, we love him more than we love anything else. Now, also notice that in the very last word of this verse is the word disciple. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about discipleship. This is talking about following him. This is talking about serving him, about living for him. This is not talking about being saved. The only thing it takes to be saved is faith. But if you want to be a disciple, you need to love the Lord. That's basically what he's saying. Then, secondly, he said you must be willing to take up your cross. Now, you have to understand just how awful that sounded in the ears of these people. The Romans crucified people all the time. They would take the criminals and just put them on the main thoroughfares and put a cross in the ground and nail them to the cross or tie them to a cross and just leave them out there. And sometimes it would take weeks for someone to eventually die while hanging on a cross. You say, well, the Lord died quickly. Yes, but they beat him through the night. Isaiah said that you couldn't even tell that it was a man who was hanging on that cross. Isaiah said that he was so mistreated and so abused that when you looked at him, you turned your head because it was so appalling. But many a people lived for 2 weeks while hanging on a cross. The way they died was through suffocation. They would hang on the cross and they would pick themselves up by the strength of their legs to take a breath. But after a while, your legs would give out and you would just fall forward and you were not able to breathe any longer. And so the death of on a cross was a horrible, horrible way to die. And yet Jesus said, you must be willing to take up your cross. And then he said, if you're going to follow me, then you must be willing to renounce all that you have, to give it all up and follow me and do my will. Now, let me say, dear friend, that these are the Lord's terms for discipleship. And notice that I used the word are. They are his terms, not were his terms. They are his terms still today. And these folks, when they heard this, were appalled by Christ's statement. I'm sure they looked at him and they looked at one another and they said, my goodness, this is hard. Lord, your terms are difficult. Why? I don't know if I can give up my family. I don't know if I could ever leave my parents. I don't know that I could forsake all the things that I've worked for all these years. I just don't know if I can give up all the things that I've gained in life. Why are your conditions so hard? Now, before I explain this to you, let me just make one little observation. There's a verse of Scripture in Matthew 7 that talks about entering in at the straight gate. For broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. Folks, nobody ever said that being a Christian was going to be easy. The Lord never promised us that being a Christian was going to be an easy thing. No one ever said it was going to be easy. But let me explain to you what I think the Lord is saying here. I think the Lord is looking at them and he's saying, look, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you think that I'm going to go and sit down upon the throne of Jerusalem. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to Calvary's cross and pay the penalty for your sin. And then I'm going back to heaven to intercede on your behalf at the right hand of God. And you're going to have to stay here and you're going to have to work for me, and you're going to have to serve me, and it's not going to be easy. And so I'm just asking you right now to make your decision. If it came down to where your parents said, it's us or God, choose, what would you do? What would you do? I mean, if the Lord called you to suffer persecution or give up the Lord, which would you choose? You say, well, I'd choose persecution. Well, that's what the Lord, that's basically what he's saying here. He is saying, you must be willing to take up your cross. I mean, it never promised us flowery beds of ease, folks. If the Lord said to you, Keith Lippy, sell all that you have and go off to Bible college and then serve me as a missionary or as a pastor, what would you say? What would you do about that? You see, these are things, the Lord said, that you have to be willing to do if you're going to be the right kind of servant. Now, I want you to notice something very interesting. Look at verse 28 through verse 32. It's interesting that you have the Lord making these conditions, two of them, one in verse 26 and one in verse 27. And then we have two parables. There are two parables. The first one is found in verse 28, 29, and 30 about a man who decides he's going to build a tower. And the Lord said that this guy who is going to build a tower will first sit down and he will think this thing through and he'll count the cost. He'll make sure that he's got enough money in the bank to cover the building of this tower before he starts it. He doesn't want to get three quarters of the way through the project, run out of money, and have to stop, and his friends and everybody come by and say, oh, poor fool, he didn't even know how much money he had. And they laugh at him. And so the second one is in verse 31 and 32, and it's about a king who is contemplating going to war. Now, I want you to notice, and I think I mentioned this back when we did our study through the Gospels, but outside of verse 28, 29, and 30, I want you to write the word building. Building. And then outside of verse 31 and 32, I want you to write the word battling. Building and battling. We have two points that are being made here by the Lord in the giving of these two parables. Now, you say, what's going on here? He gives two conditions, then gives the two parables, and then gives the final condition. Well, let me explain to you what I think is happening. I think that after the Lord gave the first two hard qualifications, he could see the dismay in their faces. Of course, he knew what was in their hearts. And he knew that what he said really was something that they thought was impossible or at least very, very difficult to do. It's almost as if he saw their protest. And he wanted to clarify to them, listen carefully now, this is important. He wanted to clarify to them why his qualifications were so stern and so severe. And these two parables explain why his terms for discipleship were so difficult. He did not say, listen now, oh my, get this. He did not say, or he is not saying, that they were to count the cost. He is not saying that at all. He is not saying to them, after making these conditions, he is not then turning to them and asking them to count the cost. We are never told to count the cost in serving God. He meant that he had to count the cost. Do you know why? Because he is the builder and he is the battler. He is the one that is building the building, and he is the one that is leading the charge in the fight. He was asking these people, listen now, you'll understand it. He was asking these people to put themselves in his shoes. He is saying, I want you to put yourself in my shoes. He said, I know that you're angry. I know that you're protesting over the severity of my terms, but suppose it were you in my place and you were going to build a building, wouldn't you count the cost? Suppose you were going to fight a battle, wouldn't you see if you were if you were doing that, you had an army that was able to fight? I mean, would you not be concerned about the quality of the men that were in your army? Would that not cross your mind? And so basically, he is saying, my terms are severe and hard because we're in a building program and we're in a fight. And I want to make sure that the men and women who are my disciples will stand by my side until the building is built and until the battle is won. Do you understand that now? Building and battling. Folks, listen, that's what the Christian life is all about, building and battling. That is why I preach all the time and challenge you to get in the Word of God. I want you to build yourselves in the holy faith. That's why I preach and encourage you to be here in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You're in a building program. You are fighting in a battle, and you need all the strength and you need all the help that you can get. And that's why you need to be in church. I mean, building a house of faith in your own heart through the Bible, through prayer, through church, through soul winning, through serving. And we are building a church, and we do that by taking what we have built as individuals and then using it collectively to bring honor and glory to God in the church. We're in a building program. But then we're also in a battle. Hey, folks, listen, our enemy, the devil, Satan, is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. When we get saved, we are immediately thrown into the midst of that conflict. Now, here's the thing. When you get saved, you're thrown into this conflict and you don't even know it. And that's why you need to get in the book. When you get saved, you're thrown into the conflict and you don't even know it. Folks will come, these new Christians will come to Reformers, or they'll come to the new converts class, or they'll come down the aisle during the invitation and they'll talk to somebody and they'll say, "Man, I'm really struggling. I'm having a hard time." You know why they're really struggling and why they're really having a hard time? Because they're in a battle. That's why. The devil doesn't want them growing. The devil doesn't want them building. The devil doesn't want them in the book and reading and learning and growing and praying. He doesn't want that. And so that's why they're having a hard time. But Jesus is simply saying, "Hey, listen, here's the reason my terms are severe. I'm building and I'm battling. And I want to make sure that the men and women that are my disciples are going to stick by my side until the building is built and the battle is won." Now, folks, that's the Lord's plan for the ages. That's the Lord's plan for the church. That's the Lord's plan for you. Building and battling is what the Christian life is all about. It's what the Christian life is all about. I mean, building and battling is the basis of the work of the New Testament church. Take your Bible, please. Just a few months earlier, go back to Matthew 16. Just a few months earlier, the Lord Jesus took his disciples up to Caesarea Philippi. Look at chapter 16, please. He took him up to Caesarea Philippi and he asked them in verse 13, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now watch this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will," what? "Build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You've got building and battling. That's what the church is all about. Folks, that's what we're all about. And I tell you, I get so tired of the devil knocking our soldiers out of the way. I get so tired of the devil defeating our soldiers. That just grieves my soul. I get so tired of hearing, "Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? And this happened or that happened." I get so weary about that. But that's what we're in, folks. And I want you to be aware of the fact that you're in a building program and you're in a war. You've got a devil who is trying to keep you from growing. You've got a devil that is trying to knock the socks off of you. You've got a devil that does not want you reading your Bible. You've got a devil that does not want you winning souls. You've got a devil that does not want you to be in church. And we need to realize that our enemy is never going to stop. And so we just got to stay with it. Man, we've just got to stay with it. I mean, just stay in the fray. Jesus came into the world to seek and save that which was lost. And when you get saved, the very minute that you get saved, you are thrown in to the building program of God. Jesus came to build. He came to build people. He came to build us as believers and to encourage us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's why He gave us the church. And that's why He called men of God, pastors, to preach in the church. You folks, many of you have said to me through the years, "Pastor, I could have read that 1,000 times and I wouldn't have gotten that." That's why I'm the pastor. Amen. God put me here because God wants to use me to teach you things about this book. I didn't know that until God showed it to me. I mean, I didn't know it myself until God showed it to me. You folks think that I graduated from college and then boom, I had all this Bible knowledge? No, sir. No, sir, it's a building and a battling that goes on all the time. I am in the same building program you're in. I'm in the same war you're in. And God said, wait a minute, I want to help my people. And so every week on Tuesday, I start praying, Lord, give me what is needed. Lord, give me what you want me to preach. Lord, give me, show me something from the Word of God. And then God shows it to me. I come in here and give it to you. And the whole intent is that we, as the church of Jesus Christ, get stronger so that we can keep building and we can keep battling. My friend, when you're not here, could you imagine skipping 4 or 5 meals in a week? Huh? Could you imagine that? Could you, Jim, don't even go there, son. I mean, my soul. Could you imagine? I mean, you know, your wife hollers, dinner's ready, and nothing is safe. I mean, you'll step on the dog, the cat, 4 kids, knock the table over. Yeah, you're not going to miss that dinner. Man, we ought to feel the same way about coming to the house of God. We ought to get just as excited about the things of the Lord. God has something for you. You remember Nehemiah, that great Old Testament story, and Nehemiah went in, and the king said, oh, okay, you can go back. And so he got some people, and they went back. And when they got back to Jerusalem, the walls were knocked down, and they said, we're going to build these walls back. Man, they got their stone, and they got their mortar, and they got their trowels, and they went out and started working and started building. And all of a sudden, and when they started building, here came the enemy. Sanballat and Tobiah and all the rest of them, they come and they would work and build a part of the wall, and then somebody come along at night and push it over. I mean, they got discouraged, they got tired, and finally Nehemiah went out and said, okay, boys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to work today. We're going to start laying that stone. We're going to put the mud in there, and we're going to put the stone in there, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to post a sentry over here, and he's going to watch. And when the enemy comes, instead of us getting scared and running, instead of us cowering and giving in and letting them knock down what we've done, we're going to take a sword with us this morning. And when that trumpet sounds, we're going to work. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to be laying the stone. There's no doubt about it. But when the trumpet sounds, we're going to lay the trowel down, and we're going to pick up the sword, and we're going to fight. And then they got the wall built. Building and battling. And dear friend, that's what the Christian life is all about. Now, God's plan is this, dear friend. We be so dedicated to the Lord, so in love with the Lord Jesus, that we build on Christ. Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You say, well, Pastor, how do I build a house, or how do I build a building for God? Same way you built your own house. You start with the right foundation. Amen. You don't go out here and build the roof first. You build the foundation first. And, of course, our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. Paul said to Timothy, the foundation of God standeth sure. Folks, listen, you get on the right foundation. Yes, it's difficult to build, but the building can be built because you're on the right foundation. I mean, to build any other way is to labor in vain. So know for sure you're saved. Know for sure you're saved. And you're on the right foundation. And then secondly, you get in the book. You get in church. I mean, get in church and not just occupy space. Do something in that church. Folks, we have all these ministries. We have all these things going in the bulletin here. And when I picked the bulletin up this morning, I thought I was picking up a magazine. This thing's thick as it can be. Dennis said this morning, after all the announcements were made, what was it? We're going to throw church in here somewhere in between all these activities. I mean, I'm for ministries. Ministries help people. Ministries reach people. I'm for the ministries. But my friend, it takes people power to make those ministries work. Amen. And there's enough ministries around here, everybody can find something to do. I used to say to this fellow down in West Virginia, I used to say to him all the time, preacher, what can I do? I said, look, there's a lot of holes around here. Just get in one of them. Just get in one of them. Just get in a hole and fill it up. There's something that everybody can do. And you get in the book, you get in the church, you start growing, you start learning, you start putting up the walls and adding the flooring and putting the insulation in. Aim for heaven. Get in the Bible. Get in prayer. Learn how to win souls. Get involved. Listen, Christian, God has called you to serve, not sit. We're not interested in anything but people just serving the Lord. Man, there's enough to do. You know, most people today, it seems they have a spare tire religion. You know, they just use it when they need it. You know, when they get sick, oh God, I need you. You know, when you lose the job, oh God, help me. You know, when one of the kids rebels, oh Lord, what are we going to do? Lord, I need you, help me. And let me serve notice on you, dear friend, you need the Lord every day of your life. I mean, you need Him when things are going good. You need Him when things are going bad. Don't use God like a spare tire. We need to step out and say, Lord, I'll carry the cross. Lord, I'll carry the cross. We need to step out and say, Lord, I love You with all my heart. We need to step out and say, Lord, I'll serve. I'll do what You want me to do. Lord, there's some holes. I'll get in one of those holes. Building and battling. We're in a battle, folks. The devil is watching for an area where he can trip you up. Don't let him get you. Put on the whole armor of God. I mean, just put on God's armor and just keep trotting along. God will bless you. God will use you. We got to keep faithful. Got to keep praying. Got to keep soul winning. Got to keep building. Got to keep fighting the devil. I mean, for the sake of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot get weary in well-doing. Let's get busy for the Lord. Folks, we got a revival coming up. Oh my, let's purpose that we're going to be here for that. Let's purpose we're going to work for it. Let's purpose we're going to invite folks to come. This will be a great opportunity for folks to hear the gospel and get saved. Let's just get busy living for the Lord. There's so much to do. So much to do. Building and battling. Lord, why are You termed so hard? Well, because I'm the builder. And I'm the battler. And if you were in my shoes, would you not make the condition strong? Would you not make them severe? Would you not make them hard? I mean, suppose you were going out to battle. Wouldn't you want soldiers that were going to stick with it? Suppose you were going to build a building. Wouldn't you want to have some people that were going to build it that would get the job done? And that's why my conditions are as tough as they are. Folks, these are His conditions. Not were, they are. Building and battling. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our Father in heaven, thank You so much for the privilege of being in the building program. Lord, thank You for the privilege of being in the battle. And Lord, while it's not always easy, Lord, we count it a privilege to be able to serve You. And Lord, as we labor here, as we build and as we battle, I pray that You will bless. Lord, except You build the house, we're just spinning our wheels and laboring in vain. So Lord, help us to be dedicated. Help us, Lord, to be serious. Help us, Lord, to be in the building program and in the fight. That, Lord, we'll not sit on the sideline and watch others do it, but, Lord, we'll find a place where we can serve. And, Lord, I know that not everyone can drive a bus. I know that not everyone can sing a solo. I know that not everyone can teach a class. But, Lord, in a church this size, there's something for everyone. Lord, we need to find our niche. And we need to say, I'm going to build and I'm going to battle. And Lord, I just pray that You'll touch our hearts this morning or this evening. And Lord, give us what we need tonight. I pray that, Lord, a revival spirit will break out in our hearts. And that, Lord, You might take this message tonight and challenge each and every one of us. And Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's not sure they're saved. They do not know for sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. Lord, would You speak to that heart tonight? and just do your work, Lord. We'll thank you for it. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around. How many of you here tonight will say, Pastor, God's touched my heart tonight, and I need to get in that building program. I need to get back in the building program. I need to pick up the tools, and I need to get with it. How many of you will say, Pastor, I need to get back in the battle? I've been kind of standing on the sideline watching everybody else go at it, but I need to pick up the sword, and I need to get in the mix. And Pastor, God's dealing with my heart tonight. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over this building tonight? Let God touch your heart tonight. Yes, God bless you, folks. Many, many hands. God bless you. Amen. Good. Good. Many hands. God bless you, folks. Let me ask one more question. You may put your hands down. Anybody here tonight say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm even saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Preacher, pray for me. I need the Lord tonight. Could I pray for you, dear friend? Would you just lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Just lift your hand and hold it up. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Anybody? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be. Pray for me. All right. Now, Father, you know our needs tonight. Oh, Lord, meet the needs of our hearts. May victories be won here tonight. Lord, there are folks that need to join the church tonight. There are folks that need to just rededicate and reconsecrate themselves and say, by the grace of God, things are going to change. I'm going to get back in the building program. I'm going to get back in the fight. And Lord, help us to just keep on keeping on until Jesus comes. Lord, bless these hands. Bless these folks. And Lord, help us to make that decision that you're dealing with our heart about tonight. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.